have tuned in to the Make Your Day Count broadcast with Pastor Errol Beckford, Senior Pastor of Celebration Tabernacle Church, President of Celebration Marketplace Ministries, and author of Make Life Work in a Fast-Paced World. And here's Pastor Beckford.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Make your day count. This is the day
the Lord has made.
And we will
rejoice
and be glad
in what God is doing. We were so excited yesterday. We're so excited that we didn't keep track of time. Time didn't mean anything yet. The word of God was so sweet. And we were on a sweet part of it. We were in a sweet spot. You know what I'm saying? We hit that sweet spot, boy. It was like honeycomb right there. So forget about the time right now. We're going to wake up again.
Yeah. We've been teaching the topic, breaking the spirit of delay and stagnation. So what we must ask ourselves, is the delay working for our good or is it working against us? Yeah. Is it working for our bad or is it working for our good? What's happening during that time of delay? So we've been in John chapter 11 going through the story of Jesus with Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. It was a delay. It was a planned delay. Jesus was notified that he was sick, and Jesus waited two more days to leave the place where he was to go see about Lazarus. But he knew the will for God in the situation. He knew, according to verse 4, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it.
Everybody going to be happy. Mm-hmm. Everybody going to come out okay. Isn't that great, Diana? Mm-hmm. When something happened in our life, and if we could get the revelation, that's okay. At the end, everybody's going to happy. At the end, everyone is going to rejoice. It's not to take you down. It's to bring glory to God, and that God may glorify through you, in you, through what the circumstances is. Amen.
When he got there, then he found out, though, the situation was worse.
Yeah.
But there was still a better time coming. There was a greater glory coming. So Jesus had to be willing. He had to go through to the end. He could not grow weary in his well-doing. He had to be there, and he had to be obedient to the plan that God gave him in order to see it come to pass, so that the Father God was glorified and Son of God was glorified through it as well.
Yeah, so let's pick up from verse 15 this morning. Verse 15. We left off at verse 14 yesterday.
And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him.
So Jesus is hitting the purpose. He says, I'm glad for all of you guys. I wasn't there. Because if I was there, I would just, you see that he's sick, and all I have to do is to break that sickness off him. And you are seeing it happen. I do that all the time. So he says, what you're about to see now is for your good. Hallelujah. What is going to come out of this situation, this delay? It is for your good. What is coming out of this delay is not for your bad. It's for your good. And that's why I'm so excited about this old teaching here this week. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, it was a glory of advancement coming because they were used to seeing Jesus healing the sick. They watched Jesus heal the sick. But now when he calls forth Lazarus, the people that are in there are going to be participants.
Yeah.
They're going to have some assignments, some things to do. They're going to have an assignment to roll back the stone. They're going to have an assignment to take the grave clothes off. They're going to be participants, because we could all say that we've watched somebody do something and it looks very easy. And then when it's our time to do it, to try to figure it out, to try to go through the process, it all of a sudden becomes very, very difficult. If we don't have that hands-on experience where we've learned the different steps and we've participated in the different steps. They were observers up to this point.
Yes.
They watched Jesus heal the sick. And when you watch something so often, it becomes kind of common to you. And then you just feel like, oh, well, that's just what's going to happen every time. Oh, it's so easy. But here, they're going to be participants of the experience at another level, another dimension of glory. Because Lazarus, when they find him, is not just sick, but he is dead, as confirmed by his sister, who says, and he's been in the cave for 4 days. So surely there's a stench at this time. Surely this body is decomposing at this time. So when he came into the place, they were going into another level of their ministry, of what they were doing. It was their time to be participants, not just watchers. You know, so often we watch different shows on TV or watch different stunts and we just think, oh, yeah, that looks so easy. Oh, yeah, that looks so easy. But if you try it, are we capable of doing it? Most of the time, no, unless we have trained and have practiced it.
Amen. Now, Diane, jump down in verse 16, and let's stay there before we go to 17.
Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us go that we may die with him. So they thought they were on an end trip.
Why? Because it says, don't go to Bethany. Because Bethany is the place where we're going to get killed. They're going to stone us, and Jesus enlightened them. That's what I like about the scripture here. Jesus says, we're going in the day. We'll see. We're not going in the night. Because if we walk in the day, we'll see. We'll see what's up. And we can escape whatever danger is there. Because he that walk in the night will stumble. There's no trap set. And even of Jesus explained all of that, explained that they're going to bring glory to God. Thomas says, okay, hey, guys, let's just go and get, we're going to die anyway. So let's go and die with him. He's going to die, so we also going to die.
Verse 17, so when Jesus came, yeah, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days.
Yeah.
Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away.
Yeah.
And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother.
Right. So we know the delay. Mm-hmm. This is a big-time delay.
Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here,
my brother
would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you.
Yeah.
Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again.
Yeah.
Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day.
So what? Hold up here. This is a beautiful conversation. Martha and Jesus have it. Now it's 4 days. Let's set the scene, Diane, on this Wednesday here. It's 4 days. So from sick to physical death and what? Burial. Jesus show up. What a delay. We are going to say this delay is never good. Where is the good? How do we see the good in that delay? So we're going to, if we have a situation like that, oh, man, the devil is at work. That's it. We jumping, boy. The devil is at work. Oh, I should have and I could have, but it's the devil. We're going to show when the devil is at work and when God is at work. We must know the difference. That's the point. That's why we bring in these two examples from the Bible. Bible example. And we're going to show when we go into Daniel how different the situation with Daniel is from this situation. Okay. And that's why we're learning this first. So we can understand and differentiate between. If we know the good. And you always teach, because you were working in the bank one time, Diane. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you always teach that if you know the good money, then the counterfeit is easy for you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
When you've handled the genuine,
yeah,
then you're able to identify the counterfeit.
Yeah.
But if you haven't handled the genuine enough, you're not going to be able to identify the counterfeit. When I used to work at the bank, the counterfeit bills, they didn't come in directly from a customer to the bank teller.
Yeah.
They would come in through deposit bags. So they would come in through fast food chain or a convenience store chain. So where cashiers were handling the money, but not to the extent or the length of time, us working in the bank were handling money in and out of our hands all day. So as soon as we were counting the money, we would be able to identify based off of the feel of counterfeit bills.
Come on.
So because we identified the counterfeit, the bank did not take the loss. The company that accepted the counterfeit bill and exchanged their services or their products for that bill, they took the loss. Because if the deposit said $980 and there was a counterfeit 20 in there, they only got credit for a $960 deposit. Because we weren't allowing that to come, we were not going to give away the value of that just because in error they did.
Yes.
So it stopped right there. When we're able to identify the genuine, when we have experience with the genuine. That's why we have to be in a relationship with God. So we know his genuine character, his genuine traits. Oh. And then we could easily identify the counterfeit when the enemy comes. With the counterfeit, when he comes with his scheme instead of God's plan, we're able to easily identify it when we have experience with the genuine.
We know this is not of God. We can tell right away. This here is not of God. This is of the enemy, the devil. But first, we have to have a relationship with God. We have to develop that oneness, that's closeness with God. Oh, this is good here.
Because people would say, well, how did you know? Well, we just know because we touched it and we know that it's not. So after it's pulled out by hand, then it goes through the test or the machine or whatever they use, the pen or whatever. But it has to first be identified by hand.
Yeah.
Because a bank is not, you know, you might go to the store and they might put the color code marker on 20s and 50s. But when you're in a bank that's full of 20s and 50s, they're not marking every single one to see if it's real. It goes through a different process.
Come on.
So it's the teller's hands a lot that Touch are the it. Ones that are identifying the counterfeit bills.
Hallelujah. Isn't that great this morning? That is so awesome as we look into this great teaching this morning. And we can see how, and we're learning how to identify when it is the will of God and when it is not the will of God. And here we know that Jesus already know that this is the will of God and the glory of God is going to be seen. So as we dig into it, we see this conversation with Martha and Jesus. And Jesus saying that your brother will rise again. Martha saying, we know that. I know in the resurrection, but the resurrection is not yet. And we need our brother right now. And if you were here, he wouldn't have to wait for the resurrection. Go ahead, Dad.
And then Jesus said to her in response in verse 25, I am the resurrection.
Yes.
So she had said he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. But he said, no, I am the resurrection and the life.
Yes.
So he said, I'm here right now.
No.
I'm the resurrection and the life. So we don't always have to die to resurrect.
Right.
We can resurrect. We could live the good life that God has designed for us right here in the earth. He who believes in me, though he may die,
he shall live.
And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And we'll get more into that
tomorrow.
Because what she said doesn't line up then with what she does. We want to invite you to Celebration Tabernacle Church. We're located at 1010 Dixon Boulevard in the city of Cocoa. Sunday mornings, 10 a.m.
Thank you for tuning in to the Make Your Day Count broadcast with Pastor Errol Beckford, Senior Pastor of Celebration Tabernacle Church in the beautiful city of Cocoa. For more information on this broadcast, please contact us at 321-638-0381. Tune in tomorrow to hear more about how you can make your day count.
And